Brett Favre reported to the Green Bay Packers as expected yesterday, but none of the fans and media members staking out several entrances to Lambeau Field managed to catch a glimpse of him until he left. An evening news conference was also postponed when talks between Favre and Packers coach Mike McCarthy went late into the night. The two left Lambeau Field just before midnight, and the news conference, we are told, will be rescheduled for sometime today. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, August the 5th. Why do you want Brett Favre to be the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers for one more season? Or don't you? 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. 74% of Green Bay residents who were surveyed on Sunday want the Packers to retain their contractual rights to Favre and not trade him. But only 33% said he should be the starting quarterback. Others said that he should be the backup quarterback. Others said he should be a player coach. We will talk about the Brett Favre saga and wonder what you want to hear announced at the news conference today during this hour. Plus, we'll try to understand why Brett Favre wants to unretire and why we care. Our guest is a sports psychologist this hour. Joel Fish is the director of the Center for Sports Psychology in Philadelphia, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. I understand that you got your PhD from UW-Madison, so you know what the Packers mean to Wisconsin.
Well, I know it personally, and I'm proud to say my father went to Wisconsin from 1938 to 41, so I've really been raised with the Wisconsin tradition and really do understand the meaning of this story for people out there.
Yeah. Well, why has this captured our attention?
Well, you know, from a psychology point of view, when a story becomes not just a Wisconsin story, but a national story, and this is a national story, the question is always why. And I think with Brett Favre, there's a couple reasons. First of all, anyone that understands at all about the legacy of Packer football and the history of Packer football and the relationship of the Packers to the state understands the caring. It's an emotional thing that comes along with this. I think what makes Brett Favre's situation even more compelling is that he's been really public with a lot of personal things he's gone through. And, you know, nowadays with so many games being on TV and the media being what it is, fans always talk about, we won, we lost. You can really feel like you have a personal relationship with the athlete. And in Brett Favre's case, even more, because he's been with the team for so long and he's been so public, I think there's a personal connection many fans have with him that it's also part of this compelling story, not only for Packer fans, but fans nationwide.
Yeah, and there was a rally on Sunday at Lambeau Field where a number of people who want Brett back in the uniform and as starting quarterback showed up to chant, "Let Brett play," including this fan from Indiana.
I came all the way from Indiana to say I want Brett Favre back. He's probably brought more revenue to this organization than any other player. He's third best quarterback last year in the league. No reason at all. It doesn't make any sense to not bring him back.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people why this is so hard.
Well, I think from the athlete's point of view, retirement is very hard, and I've had a chance to deal with athletes from every sport. And retirement is often described to me as the hardest phase they go through because there is literally nothing for a competitor, and professional athletes or competitors, that can replicate that competitive adrenaline rush that sports represents. And so I think that it's very common for athletes to go back and forth, and you see a lot of athletes unretire. The other thing about athletes that makes them different, I think, with retirement is by 37, 38, but as far as age, you're usually playing an old-timers game. You know, they're considered old at 30. Whereas for most of us, our careers are still on the upswing or we're just getting into the meat of our careers and family life. Athletes are retiring at that age. And so the rhythm of their career is very different from the average person. And I think that makes it really hard for them to let go also.
Yeah.
From the fans' point of view, I just think it's hard sometimes to let go. You know, with Brett Favre, there's nostalgia, there's history. He can still play. And so it's not as clear-cut as it is with some other athletes who are, quote, over the hill. And so when you put all this together, I just think it really, really brings up a lot of emotions, not only from Brett Favre's point of view, but obviously from the fans' point of view.
Joel Fish is our guest. He's a sports psychologist, the director of the Center for Sports Psychology in Philadelphia, talking with us about why it is so hard to let go for Brett Favre and for fans. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your questions about the Favre-Packers saga. And what is it you want to hear today when a news conference is going to be rescheduled to talk about Brett Favre's future with or without the Packers? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, August the 5th. Coming up this afternoon, At Issue with Ben Marins. Life can get messy, and often the answers we seek are not right at hand, but that's not always so bad, according to Ben's guest. Ben will talk about embracing, Ben and his guest talking about embracing the sacred messiness of life after 5 o'clock. Well, we're talking about the messiness that surrounds the Brett Favre wanting to unretire, showing up at Packers training camp this week. He and Mike McCarthy, the Packers coach, talked late into the evening last night, forcing a news conference to be rescheduled for today to talk about Brett Favre's future on the team or off the team. We are talking about why this is so hard. We're talking about why we care. We're talking some about why Brett Favre rejected a $20 million offer to stay retired. We're all waiting to find out what happens next. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Joel Fish, a sports psychologist, director of the Center for Sports Psychology in Philadelphia. He is also the author of 101 Ways to Be a Terrific Sports Parent. Our first caller is Diane in Madison. Hi, Diane, you're on the air.
Hi, excuse me. I believe that Brett Favre should stay retired. Most people can't go back to their job when they do retire. I think he's had his day in the sun. He's getting too old to play. And I also think, you know, they've also hired somebody to become the star quarterback for the Packers and to then disregard that, I think, is kind of unfair to the person that they did put in that place. I just think the whole thing is disgusting to me, and he should either retire or be traded to another team.
Yeah, and it's okay with
you,
Diane. Diane, wait.
Hmm?
It's okay with you to see Brett Favre come back as a Minnesota Viking?
I don't care where he goes. I just don't think he should play with the Packers anymore.
Because he's had his day in the sun?
Yep.
Yeah. You want to react to that, Joel Fish?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised that Diane's reacting the way she is. I've heard so many people express so many different kinds of emotions about this story, including being fed up with it, I mean, which is certainly understandable from a certain point of view. It has a soap opera quality to it. I think most people don't have the luxury to go back and forth and be sent off almost with a coronation the way Brett Favre was when he retired, and then have a chance to say, you know what, I'm rethinking this, I want to come back. Pro sports is a very different type of occupation, so oftentimes you are given a second chance. But I think among the emotions that fans have right now certainly can be anger and being fed up, and that's why that poll you read, Joy, at the beginning certainly said that there's a percentage of people who've said, enough already, let's cut our ties and let's move on.
Yeah, we do. We want this to be settled one way or the other.
Well, I think that's the other piece to this, that it's in limbo right now, and it's that soap opera-ish sort of middle ground, and I think people like resolution. They want it one way or the other. This thing is playing itself out for now to at least some kind of decision, but I think we're going to have to hang in there for a while, because if he comes back, now the next stage of the saga is he the starting quarterback or not? if he gets traded or leaves, the next stage of the saga is he may be playing for a rival. So we want some black and white resolution to this, but I don't think we're going to get it for a while.
Yeah. Diane blew my theory. It was just anecdotal, but more women that I talked to wanted Brett Favre to be given another season as quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, at least one more season. And I sensed more men did not. Any idea if that theory is correct? Joel Fish?
I don't buy that. I really believe that for many people, the dimension is how practical you are. And the bottom line is, this is a business that we're football business that we're talking about, where the goal is to win games. And I think there are people that are more pragmatic than others. And I think, to me, that's really the dimension here. Who gives the Packers the best chance to win? And I don't think that's a gender thing. I think you've got men and women on both sides of that fence. And I don't buy that women are more sympathetic to the relationship piece and working out their emotions. I think a bottom line for many fans is, let's get some resolution so we can go to training camp, know who our starting quarterback is, so we can get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Christine in Rhinelander, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Joy and guest, and thank you for taking my call. I just feel compelled this morning to kind of respond in with this comment. I had been watching the Packers story kind of unfold and watching it peripherally, and began to get engaged in the story when I heard the part where the Packers had offered Brett Favre $20 million to retire. And that amount is so staggering, and I know that in the face of how many people are struggling right now, it just calls to mind the overblown, inflated salaries that sports figures get to play a game. And I recognize the importance of how all of this has evolved in this country, but I just can't help but just feel so turned off by this incredible, staggering amounts of money that could be better used. I run grant programs, and a little $100,000 here I just beg for in order to be able to run these programs. So that's my comment. It's this overall sort of big picture that what we're dealing with here is totally a disconnect with reality for most people in the way they have to live their daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Joel?
Well, I think that from time to time, all of us are reminded that sports is big business, and I think we like to see sports as entertainment. It is entertainment. But when we get hit between the eyes with the salary issues and the money issues and the business aspect of it, for sure we're going to get angry and frustrated with it, perhaps, because we can't deny anymore the gap between the world that these athletes are living in and the world we're living in. The flip side to that, unfortunately, in my opinion, is that we demand that our owners pay these kinds of salaries and show a commitment to winning. And so I think we're very ambivalent. We have mixed feelings towards sports in general and towards our high-paid athletes. On the one hand, we want to put them on a pedestal. We demand they get paid. On the other hand, in these kinds of situations, when the amounts hit us between the eye, we get angry at it because all of a sudden we can't just look at it as an entertainment anymore or as a casual hobby. It's a business, and the numbers are staggering when we're reminded of them.
Help us understand, too, why, though, Brett Favre would reject $20 million to stay retired.
Well, the same trait that makes Brett Favre Brett Favre, he's a competitor. You know, it's made him so great. Like all traits, they have a flip side to it. And I really believe, and again, I work with a lot of professional athletes, that at a certain point, of course, money becomes important, and you see that in contract negotiations. But without sounding cliched, it can't fill that vacuum that competitors need to feel, which is that competitive urge and the adrenaline. And I believe him when he says it's really not about money, it's about competing. And I know it's, again, logically irrational, but the competitor part of the athlete, which gets them to be NFL players, that's the trait that's driven them, sometimes has a flip side. And, you know, I've seen that flip side come out in just athletes having a blind spot where they just can't play anymore, but they can't admit it. I've seen, you know, athletes retire and they have all the money in the world, but they gravitate towards a very dissatisfied life or they get depressed. There's something about sports that just pushes that competitive button for athletes where some of them would do anything. Cut the right arm off, somebody once said to me, if I could just play one more game. That's the power of the competitor part of sports.
Thanks to Christine. Matt in Oshkosh is next. Hi, Matt.
Hi. It's pretty simple to me. This is a professional football. It's a professional sports organization. If Brett Favre wants to try out again, and he is the best qualified quarterback for that position, he should get the job. If Aaron Rodgers can beat him out, he should get the job. Aaron Rodgers knows fully the game he's playing and the stakes that are at risk, or whatever you want to say about it. But it's that simple. It's the media's fault for keeping this thing alive and turning it into a soap opera. I believe that Brett Favre suffers a little bit from wanting the spotlight or the attention. I think that just goes along with the conditioning that he has received as a star quarterback over 17 seasons. But it's really simple. Let him compete, just like he said in the beginning. I think Ted Thompson messed up in trying to handle this situation for whatever reason, but just let him compete. Whoever's the best gets the job.
It's that simple, Joel Fish?
Well, I mean, I on the one level it is. You know, may the best man win, but I think all of us have been in this situation. It might be a family member, it might be at work, where, you know, somebody's been a star and all of a sudden they're getting in the way of progress or moving on. We're developing a new identity. What I got from everything the Packers were saying is that we closed the book on that chapter. It's time for us to develop a new identity that isn't just around Brett Favre as being the focal point here. And I think you can make the case that for the team really to develop a new identity, to really be post Brett Favre and maybe make some other changes, you have to deal with the central core issue here that could be preventing you from moving on. So, you know, if it were an objective thing, football's not that objective where you can say, you know, this quarterback is beating out that quarterback. Aaron Rodgers could start, he could have a bad game or two, and now all of a sudden, you know, people in the stands are chanting, "We want Brett, we want Brett." Those can be major distractions, and I think the Packers organization recognized that, and that's why step one for them was really to try in a dignified way to move on. Now they're going to have to try to move on in a way that could be a little more messy.
Ted in Park Falls is next. Hi, Ted.
Hi, how's it going, Joy?
Pretty good. What do you think?
Well, I'd like to comment on the fact that in this day and age, with the economy being poor and everybody's life becoming busier and busier and more hectic, I think it's a comfort for everybody. On Sunday, they can turn the TV on, they can watch the Packers play, and they know Brett Favre is going to be there. It's like a security blanket.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's just sports. People live vicariously through sports. It's a way for them to escape from their everyday lives and anxiety.
Yeah.
Even if they have the greatest life in the world, it's still a comfort for them to turn the TV on and see Brett Favre. And I think that's why he's been so heralded and so acclaimed. He's never missed a game. And I think for them to think about turning the TV on and seeing somebody else playing quarterback for the Packers is such a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I think he's on to something, Joel, but we have less than 30 seconds before a news break, so why don't we pick up after the news with his comment, okay?
Sure.
Joel Fish, sports psychologist and director of the Center for Sports Psychology in Philadelphia. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number if you'd like to talk about the psychology of the Brett Favre Green Bay Packers saga. 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Times are uncertain, the economy stinks, we're all stressed out, and people who want the Packers to take Brett Favre back are looking for a security blanket of sorts. Looking for comfort in knowing that Brett is at the helm of the pack once again. That was the theory of our last caller just before the news, and we will talk about that with our guest and also welcome your thoughts and questions about the Brett Favre saga and why we care. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Joel Fish, sports psychologist and director of the Center for Sports Psychology in Philadelphia. He got his PhD here at UW-Madison. He's also the author of 101 Ways to Be a Terrific Sports Parent. So what do you make of our caller's theory that we want that security blanket of Brett Favre?
Well, I think for 50%,
50% of the fans, that makes a lot of sense. I think the stability and the consecutive game streak, the anchor that Brett Favre has provided, just like the caller said, in these tumultuous times really is comforting to people. But for the other 50% who deal with change differently, they may see it as something that's holding them back. A lot of the feelings I feel that get activated by this issue have to do with our reactions to change. And there's some people that find change easier than others. There's other people that really like to hold on to security. And I really am not judging that, honestly. But I think the caller reflected half of the population. The other half are probably saying, you know what, this anchor is really bogging us down and weighing us down. Let's free ourselves from it so we can look for new opportunities and we can develop a new identity and look for new challenges. I think that's what the other half of the population and fans are saying.
Tim in Sparta is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think that, as, speaking as a Minnesota Viking fan, I think this whole thing has just been very amusing and hilarious. But the one point I wanted to make was that Brett Favre, Hall of Fame quarterback, he's awesome. And as a Minnesota Viking fan that has really struggled with quarterbacks in the past few years, I would love to see him be traded to Minnesota. And he is on, another thing that's hilarious to me is he's on the record. He went on the record with Greta Van Susteren and said that the only team pretty much that he would want to play for is Minnesota. And with the Green Bay Packers offering him $20 million to stay away from football, there's conflict in the management there. I think there's a lot of animosity and anger. And I think even if he stays with Green Bay, the problems that's going to be in the locker room, I mean, the moment he steps in the locker room, all the veteran players are going to want Brett to play for him, be the starter. And I'm just loving the whole scenario as a Viking fan.
I'm glad you're finding this hilarious, Tim. Joel?
Well, I think that...
Hold on, Tim.
We're listening in to all the different emotions and reactions. I think the Minnesota piece is one that's really disturbed a lot of people because it gets back to loyalty. On the one hand, he's been loyal to the Packers and hasn't missed a game in 17 years. On the other hand, to say you'd be willing to go to Minnesota, that's like, you know, leaving a relationship and going out with somebody else's best friend. You know, there's just some things you don't do. And I think the part that's angered some people has to do with that loyalty piece. It's how dare you say that? How could you do that? How could you even consider that? I mean, being a fan is all about passion and loyalty. And when, again, just like the business end gets thrust in our face, I think we get angry at it. When what is perceived as a lack of loyalty on an athlete's part, I'll go with whoever wants, you know, will let me play, gets thrown in our face, we get angry at it. So I think that Vikings piece is really a big piece of why a lot of people are fed up with this thing.
Yeah. But on the other hand, a lot of other people are terrified at the thought of seeing Brett Favre in a Vikings uniform coming onto Lambeau Field, and they don't want to see that.
Well, it's a rival, and whenever you know you have a rival, you'll do anything to keep that rival from getting the upper hand. And so, this to have your lead person all of a sudden in charge of your rival and then coming back to your home turf, Lambeau Field, that's really terrifying for some people. So another part of the soap opera is that not only is he thinking of playing somewhere else, but for our rival. And that's just something that I think, on the one hand, terrifies some people and makes other people extremely angry.
Yeah, Tim, anything else? Do you think that Brett Favre will help your team, you know, finally get to the Super Bowl?
well, absolutely. You know, the fact of the matter is that, like the Vikings, they got everything in place except for the quarterback position, and Brett Favre knows that. He knows that the Vikings have an owner that's not scared to spend money, unlike the Packers ownership, on getting new players in free agency, and it's a team that's just one player away from, you know, making it to the Super Bowl, and that's the quarterback position, and that's why, you know, he wants to go there.
Yeah. Here, Bonnie and Madison sent this email. When I watched Brett's retirement press conference, it was so obvious that he was very conflicted and never really wanted to retire. Not many of us know what kind of pressure he was under from Ted Thompson or even himself. The press didn't help, as it didn't seem to have the imagination to talk about anything but his age. age. They haven't noticed that 38 isn't old anymore. I wouldn't be sad if he did go to the Vikings and make the Packers regret it. How about that, Joel?
Well, I think Bonnie is correct in that the media these days try to paint these kinds of issues in a black or white way, and from ESPN nationally to all the outlets in Wisconsin, the story took on a life of its own. And in my experience, it could be with anybody, let alone with athletes. Retirement is not something they feel 100% one way or another. It's usually 51 to 49. Should I keep playing? I shouldn't keep playing. And Brett Favre has put himself in a position with his tremendous Hall of Fame career to want to go out on his own terms. Everybody wants to go out on their own terms, and that's part of the issue here right now. I think that he's trying to go out on his own terms. The organization has other concerns other than just Brett Favre's own terms. Most of our listeners and fans realize they don't have the luxury to script their ending the way he's trying to do it. That's all part of the emotions that this soap opera is really entailed, and why some people can see it as hilarious and other people see it as pretty serious.
Next, we go to Colleen and Nina. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to say that I think Brett Favre should come back. Let him come back. He improves the economy of Wisconsin. Wisconsin is desperate for skilled workers. He clearly is a skilled worker. I think it's sort of foolish to compare the whole economy of the world to Brett Favre's job. And the comment, many people can't go back to their job once they retire. Many people don't bring in the kind of money that Brett Favre does. And I've watched him play. I don't watch every game. He clearly has critical thinking skills. He clearly has he's gifted in terms of what's going to happen. And I say let him come back. He'll retire someday, just like the rest of us. And I think we certainly need him. And I think he's fun to watch. So yeah. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I'm glad you called to say it. Any reaction, Joel Fish?
Well, we're hearing a certain percentage from different points of view. And for those fans who see it as entertainment, for those fans who look at the economic piece that he brings in, there are fans who want to see this play itself out naturally and understand that when athletes retire, it's usually not so clean cut. So what I heard that caller basically say is let's this situation play itself out naturally, and at the end of the day, everybody's going to know, and Brett Favre will know when he's done and when he's not done. The flip side to that from an organization's point of view, and I've worked with a lot of organizations, is that there are 55 guys on this team, not just one, and we can't afford to let this quarterback situation play itself out because it impacts on our developing our next quarterback. Someone had mentioned it affects the locker room. Brett Favre's decision isn't playing itself out in a vacuum. It's playing itself out in a team. And so what may be best for Brett Favre in terms of letting this thing play out may not be best for the team, and I think the team has a right to look at it from that point of view.
We're talking with Joel Fish, sports psychologist, director of the Center for Sports Psychology in Philadelphia, about Brett Favre coming back to the Packers. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Chimura is the tight end to the right, and back goes Brett to throw. Here they come. He's got time. He's throwing it downfield.
He's got him.
Wide open. It is going to be a touchdown to Andre Rison. Rison takes it across the goal line.
Look at Brett Favre coming off the field. He is so happy.
Well, we don't know if Brett Favre is so happy today. There will be a news conference rescheduled from last night sometime today to talk about Brett Favre's status with the Green Bay Packers. Favre and coach Mike McCarthy had talks late into the evening last night about where the Packers will go with Brett Favre or without him. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking about the Brett Favre saga with our guest sports psychologist, Joel Fish, director of the Center for Sports Psychology in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, talking about why so many of us feel so strongly about the Packers and why this one player strikes such a chord and why it can be hard to let go for the player and for us, the fans. Mike in Appleton is with us next. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I think this is all great fun. Most of us lead mundane, routine lives, and for a lot of us, football is important because it gives us a sense of looking forward to something and being anxious about something and enjoying something. And in the case of Brett Favre, we're dealing with one of the stars of this particular sport, and all top of the line people are emotional, and sometimes they make mistakes in their decisions and things like that. But it seems to me, as a Packer fan, that Brett Favre has given us years and years and years and years of enjoyment, and he deserves every other chance that we can possibly give him.
Yeah, what about that sentiment, Joel Fish?
Well, I think that statistics show that for 90 to 95% of the population, even Packer fans, sports is a hobby, it's entertainment, and it's not life or death. But we know for 5 or 10% of the fans, it's really more than that. It's core to who they are and how they feel. And so I think there's some fans here that are able to just sort of roll with this and see it as another part of the entertainment of sports. But there's some other fans, that 5 or 10%, who see the implications of this is pretty serious. And so as we listen to all the different reactions people have about this situation, to me, that's another part of the population that we're hearing, too. This is not just fun and games here. This is the Packers. This is pro football. This is something that's very dear to us. And so let's resolve this for the best of the team so that we can go out and have the best training camp we have and field the best team we have.
Joel, you wrote a book about being a great sports parent. I wonder if you have any thoughts on what this is telling kids about sportsmanship, one way or the other, and how parents might want to talk about this whole thing with their children. Did you hear me, Joel? Uh-oh, maybe we lost our guest. So let me give numbers once again, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Coming up after 8 o'clock, in an age when information is available at the click of a button, my guest is going to ask, is the internet killing the American reader? We're going to talk with the author of the book, The Cult of the Amateur, Andrew Keene, about whether the internet is killing reading. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. We have Joel Fish back online. He can hear us now. I was wondering, Joel, about what kind of message this whole back and forth between the Packers and Brett Favre, what kind of message that might be sending children and how parents might want to talk to their kids who might be big Brett Favre and or Packer fans about what's going on.
Well, that's a great question. I think, like in any major story, there's opportunity here for parents to talk to their kids about what is sport and what is real life. And even though our athletes are big and strong physically, they have the same emotions inside that everybody else does, and they're people too. And that Brett Favre is going through a lot of different reactions to his life circumstances, just like as a parent and child, you go through different reactions to life circumstances. So I think it's a way to humanize our athletes. I think it's a way, even with the people that look at Brett Favre as a hero, to talk about them in flesh and blood. There's tremendous educational opportunities, I think, for parents and kids in this whole Brett Favre story.
Our next caller is Herbert in Clintonville. Hi, Herbert. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Herbert in Clintonville. Yeah, I got a question about Favre in the sense that, yes, I was a fan of him, and yes, I'm a Packer fan. But this thing about if he wants to play or if he don't want to play, it's gone on for a couple of years. He made a decision to hang it up, and it should stay that way because now it's starting to look like all it is me, myself, and I. It's nothing to do about the team. It's just me. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
And I think they ought to trade him or get rid of him the best way, the quickest way they can. I think he's going to cause nothing but grief down the road. And these fans that want him back, where are they going to be if he falls on his face? And they got no backup.
Well, Herbert, I guess he's been turned off by Brett Favre's vacillating on this, Joel Fish.
Well, again, we're hearing that 50% are and 50% aren't. I think Herbert is basically saying that he's been going through this for the last few years. It's not just this past year. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when somebody has a hard time ending something, it has to be ended for them. I have no crystal ball. I'm not sure Brett Favre will be able to make the decision on his own. And what fans like Herbert are thinking is, you know what? This has been going on long enough. Let's make the decision for him so we can groom a future. And I think if you look at Brett Favre's canon over the last few years, that's a very legitimate point of view.
Next we go to Mary in Sauk City. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi there. First of all, thanks for having a sport program. I listen to you all the time, and I love politics, but this is kind of a nice change, too.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. I just want to say, for me, it's about the Packers winning. Now, that maybe makes me shallow, but it's about them winning. And after Saturday night, I don't think Aaron Rodgers can do it. And furthermore, nobody knows everything that was said. Everybody's pointing a finger at Favre. But I'm not sure in my own mind that Ted Thompson didn't contribute to this. So I'd say if Favre wants to play, if he legitimately wants to play and will play the season, I say let him play. I'm a football fan, not just a Packer fan, and I love football on Sundays, and the rest of the week is, you know, my normal thing. But I say let him play because I think we have a better chance of winning with him than without him.
Thank you. It's all about the winning, Joel.
There's a very pragmatic way to look at this. And I know how serious fans take Packer football. And for some people, it's a soap opera. For some people, it's about the dynamics of the team and real-life issues being played out in sport. But for a large percentage of the people, is we've got to get back towards the Super Bowl here. And if Brett Favre helps us to get there, I want him. If he doesn't help us get there, then I don't want him. And I think, again, what the Packers are risking if they keep Brett Favre on the team is if he has a bad game, all this is going to surface again. If Aaron Rodgers has a bad game, all this is going to surface again. There's a legitimate point of view that says if our goal is to get to the Super Bowl, we want to minimize any distractions that we have control over. This is potentially a major, major distraction, not just in training camp, but could play itself out all year long if you play with the team all year long.
I'm going to read from an article that was posted on sportingnews.com. Nobody understands why Favre retired and then changed his mind. Nobody understands why the Green Bay Packers played such hardball in trying to get him to stay retired. And nobody understands why the team suddenly changed its mind, welcomed him to training camp, and announced there would be an open competition for the starting quarterback position. All of this is hard to understand because there has never been a story quite like this one. Never, ever. I think it's one of the all-time stories in the history of the NFL, according to the Buccaneers coach, John Gruden. What do you think? Do you think there's never, ever been a story like this one? Joel? We have problems with our phone line, I guess, with Joel Fish, and only a couple of minutes to go, so let me bring on a caller, Michael in Maguanago. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, I'm a Packer fan. I mean, I'm such a Packer fan, I have green blood. So, Brett Favre is in the category of Henry Aaron, Lou Gehrig, and Babe Ruth. If a person of that magnitude, historically, he's the greatest quarterback that ever played the game, wants to change his mind, has to change his mind, I say let it be. I mean, why would you turn down Babe Ruth, Henry Aaron, you know, if they're going to change their mind? But the real focus is the fans. The fans make the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
And the fans undoubtedly want Brett Favre.
Yeah, all right. I think so? You think so? We see 50-50, and there are it's, you don't think it's split at all, Michael?
Well, actually, I don't. You know, and of course, neither one of us can really get a full sampling of this, but everyone that I talk to, everyone, even the people who are a little bit disgruntled about the fact that Brett has changed his mind, if I go another minute and a half in the conversation and work on the conversation, I find out they want Brett back.
Yeah. Actually, this latest survey found 74% wanted the Packers to keep Brett Favre, but not that many said that he should be the starting quarterback. That wasn't quite as clear. You know what? We're out of time. Joel Fish, I understand you're back with us now.
Yes, and thank you for including me. And to me, it's been an amazing hour because we've really heard the emotions that come along with the decision. And sometimes sports, I think, captures us when it hits real life issues. And, you know, the range of emotions is, to me, spoke to how people feel about change and about legacies and nostalgia and the pragmatic end of football. And as long as Brett Favre is there, I see this as an unfolding story. So, if I can talk to you further down the road, I'd be happy to do so.
Thank
this thing
you
isn't
so
gonna
much.
End, I think.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's Favre from over, according to a sign posted at Lambeau Field. Thanks to Joel Fish, sports psychologist, director of the Center for Sports Psychology in Philadelphia. Thanks to Rob Ferret and Michelle Kofel for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.